This is the latest technology. So I was like, all right, let me be open to what's going on today. That's first and foremost, being open. Second, not caring about what other people think. It was huge. So like I had to stop thinking about what my peers thought about me and what I wanted my audience to think, you know, like, and who and how can I connect.
This episode is brought to you by DistroKid. DistroKid is a distribution service that can get your music into all the DSPs like Spotify, Apple Music, TikTok, Tidal, Instagram. Over a million artists have used DistroKid. I'm one of those artists. I've used DistroKid to get my music out, distribute some of my songs. As you know, as I look into all of these distribution services, I test them out. And DistroKid is great. They offer a ton of features, annual fee, unlimited uploads, and you keep 100% of your royalties. Check out DistroKid.com. What's going on? Welcome to the New Music Business Season 3. I'm your host, Ari Herstand, author of How to Make It in the New Music Business. The book, third edition coming soon. Look out for that. My guest today is the TikTok star, Justin Vibes, but he is so much more than just a TikTok star. Yes, he has 8.5 million followers on TikTok, 100 million likes, hundreds of millions, if not a billion views by this point. But he is also a platinum selling songwriter. He's written songs or produced songs for artists like Eminem and Chris Brown and DaBaby and Kodak Black and Travis Scott and Ty Dolla Sign. It's the list goes on. He is also a hired gun, a credible jazz musician who has toured the world as a vibraphonist with Capital Cities. So we spent most of this episode actually talking about the social media landscape of 2022 and TikTok more specifically, and what influencer marketing means right now. So if you are curious of all things TikTok and how someone with 8.5 million followers on TikTok these days is monetizing that, then you're going to want to listen to this and all the way through, because he reveals numbers. If he talks about what he makes per post from brands and how that all works and how he gets these deals and how much they're paying and all of that stuff. So stick around. And then towards the end of the episode, he talks all about his publishing deal and writing these hit records, and he discusses his process of being a songwriter with a major publishing company and how that all works. So if you're interested in being a songwriter with getting a pub deal as a songwriter or a producer, you're definitely going to want to stick around to the end when he discusses that. You can find Justin Vibes on, of course, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. Justin Vibes, just search him. He shows up everywhere. You can find all of us that make this show happen at Ari's Take on TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter. You can find me at Ari Herstand on Instagram and Twitter. And visit ariestake.com. That's where you want to get on the email list. And that's where we send out the most important information. But right now, please pause this and subscribe or like or follow the show however you listen to this. And then please leave us a 5-star review. If you're listening on Spotify, you can now leave reviews for the show. Click on over to the show page and give us a 5-star review, please. And head on over to Apple Podcasts as well. Give us that 5-star review. Those really, really help. All right. Let's kick into the show. All right. Justin Vibes, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's good to see you, man. I feel like it's been, I don't know the last time we saw each other in person. It can't have been the Grammy party, but maybe it was. I don't know. It's been a long time, but it's good. I've seen your face on my phone pop up way, way frequently for a while, but it's good to see you right here.
You too, man. I think the last time might have been, I want to say you were having like an event on maybe like somewhere over on like Melrose somewhere.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
Like touring and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Right on. Yeah, for sure.
That might have been the last time, I think.
Man. Well, years regardless. And it's good to see you here because it's, you know, when I was writing the book, the third edition, which is coming out this fall, I was doing my big TikTok deep dive, and you know, in a, like, I feel like I was really late to the TikTok game. I didn't really jump on early as many people, and I was kind of just started doing the research, you know, and I understood the power of it, and I was seeing the success stories, and then I stumbled on your profile. I'm like, holy shit, Justin is like totally crushing the TikTok game and figured it out. But like, what is so cool about you and what, you know, you've had three very successful careers, different career paths and trajectories in music, three that I know about. I'm sure there are other ones that I, like, we could be, I would have invited you on the show to talk about any one of those three because I think they're so interesting and fascinating. We are gonna touch on all three of them, and then other two. But it's that's what's so interesting. But I do wanna start because it is the most, like, it's the hottest thing right now. I wanna start with your social media journey, with your TikTok journey, and then we're gonna touch on your songwriting, producing journey and all that, and then I will touch on the touring and everything like that. But like, give me the background, like talk me through TikTok and your discovery and how the whole thing happened for you.
Yeah, so I started posting on TikTok, I want to say October 2019.
Okay, and, early.
I didn't know I was early. I was just, yeah, you know, I just kind of hopped on. I heard about it and, I was just like, yeah, I'll just give it a try, you know, and I had this plan of wanting to just like kind of increase my presence on social media in general. Mm-hmm. So I was posting on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at the same time, just like posting the same video.
Cool.
And at the time I was posting the horizontal format, so I didn't know anything about vertical format.
Sure.
And so on TikTok, it showed up as a vertical video with two black spaces on the top and the bottom. And I was just like, well, I'm just going to see what happens. They were just covers. And I would get these random comments. And by the way, on TikTok, I started with zero followers, new account, fresh account. You know, for me, it was like, you know, it's just a place to experiment. No one knows I have a TikTok. Why not? Mm-hmm. You know, and I would get these comments saying like, you know, this is going to blow up. So I'm like, oh, this must be spam or something. Like, right. I don't know. You know, like, yeah. Or they're saying like, oh, you're going to be, you know, you're going to go viral or whatever. And and I was like, okay. And I had like maybe five followers or something. They were random. I'm like, these are bots probably.
Yeah.
And then I just kept posting, you know, and still doing the same three platforms. And I still getting the same response. I'm like, okay, well, I get a couple followers here and there. These are people who don't even know me, you know, so Maybe I'm just talking to random people. I'm talking to just like the algorithm or maybe I'm talking to bots or something. You know, I have no idea. But I would comment and say thank you.
Sure.
And then I decided to do like something that was trending on TikTok, which was like, I think it was like pour water like on the ground or something.
Okay, right.
Something random. And I was just like, I'll just see what happens. And, you know, I realized that that video had got me a little bit more traction. So I was like, okay, maybe it's just, you know, I'm still in my mind not believing anything that's happening.
Yeah.
And then I see you know, an older lady comment and she's like, "Hey, can you do a Journey song?" And I'm like, "A Journey song?" Like, you know, cuz by this time like I'm doing the water thing, I'm doing the covers and the people start requesting. So I'm like, all right, yeah, I'll do a Journey song. And that's when I was like, okay, this has to be a real person. Like, who
requested Journey, the rock band from the 80s. It's just like, not many teenagers probably know who Journey is. That's like what the audience is. So you're thinking, it's like, all right, that's not a bot. Who's requesting Journey?
Exactly. You know, and I wasn't getting anything like that on Instagram and YouTube at the moment. So I was like, okay, this has to be real. Like, no bot is going to request Journey. So I was like, all right, I'll do a Journey song. And I did that. And I you know, tagged her and say, hey, here's a Journey song. And she's like, thank you so much, because I know you're going to blow up really soon. And at this point, I only had maybe 10 followers or something, or 20 followers.
On TikTok, yeah.
Yeah.
And for context, what were you looking at for follower numbers on Instagram or YouTube?
So on Instagram, I had about like 7,000
okay
followers there. YouTube, I think I had about like 500.
Okay. Very, so, very modest numbers. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, so yeah. And then I started doing some song requests kind of, and I was like, maybe I won't do it. And then I saw this trend going around, and it was an iPhone ringtone. And, but it was like popular in the dog niche. So like every dog owner was using this iPhone ringtone for their dog videos. Huh. I'm like, wait a second, I could play that on a vibraphone. Right. But I didn't play the actual sound. I just used the sound because I realized using the sound helps get traction.
Okay.
So I used the sound in lip sync on the vibraphone.
Gotcha.
The audio. And they're like, this is not your sound. This is not you playing it. But the video had got to 500,000 views.
Wow. And is this the boop doop doop
doop doop doop doop doop? No, this is
not
the,
that one. Oh, okay. The digga doo dee doo dee doo dee doo. Oh yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so it was a sound that was that was already viral. So I'm like, well,
got it.
I'm just gonna see what happens and
yeah.
You know, like, oh, this is not your sound, this is not your sound, this is fake. Right. And
started a conversation.
Like, yeah, it started a conversation. I started getting followers.
Wow.
You know, like instantaneously. I think like I went from like 25 to like 200, then 200 to like 1,000. Like, and this was like all in the span of like a day.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, like this still got to be bots. You know, like it's got to be.
Right.
You know, but then you got people saying, this is not your sound. Like, you know, like this is not your sound. I was like, well, isn't that the point of TikTok? You know, like I thought you use the sound and
right.
You know, and so that's what I did, you know.
Yeah.
And, but I guess there's like a ongoing conversation of what is real sounds and what is fake sounds.
So
I was like, all right. I was like, you don't think I can play this? So I was like, hey, well, since this isn't my sound, how about you just give me some song requests?
Sure.
So this time I started to make the idea in my mind that, okay, this has to be real people because I'm still not getting this type of traction on Instagram or YouTube. And at the same time, not saying that they were bad platforms at the time, they just had different goals, I think, you know?
Okay,
like,
right.
I think that like Instagram at the time was more so just focusing on pumping out content to people who follow you, where YouTube is, you know, a little bit different in that regard. And then and TikTok was just more about like getting awareness for whoever the creator is. So
because at the time, Instagram, this was pre-Reels on Instagram, which was, you know, is Instagram's TikTok competitor. And this is pre-Shorts on YouTube, which is also the YouTube TikTok competitor. This was but yeah, you're exactly right. Instagram didn't have the algorithm, how they were tweaking it was still just showing your post to your own followers, and it was just determined on how many of your followers it would show it to. It wasn't, let's try to show your videos or your posts to people who are not your followers. And that's where TikTok was excelling, because that algorithm, that's how you could get 500,000 views on one video with just 10 followers.
Exactly. And that's something I didn't know when I started TikTok. You know, I just was posting. I didn't know that, like, oh, this was the algorithm's, like, thing. I just was posting, and so I started doing song requests and like doing them left and right, like just passing it out like flyers, you know, just here you go tagging this person, tagging that person.
Cool.
And we're now in February of 2020, so we're talking about 4 months from the first day I posted on TikTok, and I went from 0 to 1 million followers by February.
Wow, just from doing that. Now, was there a video that was the video that went viral for you, or was it just the consistency of posting every day?
So I think it was a combination of both.
Okay.
So I was doing song requests every day. I would post like 3 to 4 videos a day, because these are like 15 second videos.
Sure.
They're 15 second like covers, like, so they're not like super involved, you know, like I'll at least do like maybe like the intro of one song, and then do, you know, if I knew it, you know, if I knew the song, I'll do it. And if I didn't know it, I'll learn it. And I would tag the person who asked for it. And some of those were viral videos, and then some of those were like not so viral videos. But then you had sure. the super viral videos, which I learned about, which is there were a couple of them that were like super viral. And I remember I was meeting up with a musician here in LA, and I had just posted a video, and I was like, all right, cool. You know, like I posted my two videos. I'll post, you know, two more later when I get back. Mm-hmm. And had lunch, and we went to an office somewhere. I can't exactly remember. We was like doing something. I think it was with mm-hmm. the union or something like that. And next thing I know, I'm like, she's doing her thing, and I'm like checking my phone and whatnot. And I go to TikTok. Next thing I know, I remember the time exactly it was. I had left my house at 1 o'clock. I posted a video like around 12:45 or something like that. Pretty much by like 1:45 when I checked my phone at this office, I had just got 90,000 new followers.
What?
Yeah.
What? Yeah. That's and I was just insane. Like,
I was like, oh yeah, it's definitely fake. Right. I just kept saying, no, it's definitely fake. Like,
sure.
You know, I just didn't really believe it, you know, like, because again, like, none of my friends are talking about TikTok mm-hmm. at this point, you know, like, no one's really, like, you know, seem to be engaged with it. You know, I'm telling my friends about it, you know, but they're sure. like, oh, that's cool. You know, mm-hmm. like they're
this
like,
is still pre-pandemic, and so this is still super early, super new yeah. for a lot of people. What was the video that went so super viral that got you the 90,000 followers?
So it was a video for this Nickelodeon show called Gravity Falls.
I don't know if I know that one.
Is it Nickelodeon? Wait, isn't it? I think it is Nickelodeon.
It might be. I haven't watched Nickelodeon since Nick at Night back on with Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yeah, exactly. It's been a while, and
and
at the time, like, I didn't even know the show, like, but I kept hearing the music on TikTok.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, all right, yeah, I'll do Gravity Falls. I have to look it up and learn it, and I'm like, all right, well, I can see how this can be played on a vibraphone, and mm-hmm. and it's funny because I'm sure my father was like, "What? You didn't know that song? Like, you know, you didn't right. know that show?" But I know it yeah. now because I've learned it from them. But I had no idea what it was, and then it actually got the attention of Nickelodeon.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and they was like, "Hey, can you do SpongeBob?" And I'm like, okay, this is not fake.
Yeah. This is Nickelodeon. Did you say, hey, Nickelodeon, I will if you pay me.
I didn't say that. I was
you didn't
like,
know that at the time, yeah.
I didn't even say that. I was just like, sure, yeah, I'll just
yeah, right, right, right.
And
cool.
They was like, hey, man, thanks for doing it. And they reposted it. And
cool. Oh, wow.
And then, like, I started seeing, like, my videos get posted from TikTok onto Instagram. That's when I realized, okay, this is real. Like, this is right. really real. And then
real people.
One of the videos I did, it got posted on ESPN.
Wow. And
yeah, I did. So it was like, you know, Super Bowl's coming up, and I did like a cool little video. And the funny thing is, it didn't really go that viral on TikTok, actually.
Huh.
It didn't. Like, it was just like a video I posted. It was a request. Mm-hmm. But it didn't get like a lot. I mean, it went viral, I guess, like, so like, I think like the Gravity Falls had hit like maybe like 9 million or something like that.
Views. Wow. Okay.
So in comparison,
That's super viral.
So yeah. like this video for the Super Bowl was like maybe 100,000. So in comparison.
Yeah. Did ESPN get in touch with you and ask for your permission to put it on ESPN?
So what happened was, Highlight, What is the thing? I guess I forget the name of the company.
Sports Center?
No, not Sports Center. Okay. I can't even think of it. But they posted it on their TikTok, and then I guess they posted it on their Facebook, and then they reached out to me on Instagram saying, hey, ESPN reached out to me on Instagram like, hey, we like to post your video. Can we post it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. It's just like, you on the rights? I said, yeah. And
cool.
And they posted it on Instagram, and then Instagram shot up. Like,
cool. Yeah.
Out of, wow. Yeah. And right. so it started like, you. It started showing up on Instagram, then started showing up on YouTube, and it started like circulating around all the three platforms. So, and once I hit 1 million followers, I kept going because I actually was able to meet someone that worked at TikTok. And they was like, hey, that's great. You hit 1 million followers, but don't stop. Like, keep going.
When did you hit 1 million followers? Do you remember when that was?
So that was February 2019.
2020.
Sorry, 2020. Sorry, yes.
Gotcha. Oh, okay. Yeah. So 4 months after you joined, you hit 1 million followers, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Cool. And then you kept going. So let's. I mean, that's nuts. Let's jump ahead a little bit because Now that's 2020. Now we're 2 years later. You're at 8.5 million followers. What have you learned over the last 2 years of kind of focusing on growing your social media presence primarily through TikTok? And what are some opportunities that have come through this? And where are you at now? Do you have representation? All of that stuff. Like, what's happened? Like, what happens when you get followers on TikTok?
So, I mean, what happens is that when you get followers on TikTok, like, in a sense, no one still knows.
Okay.
You know, it's you get 1 million followers and it's like, okay. You know, like, mm-hmm. until like you get videos reposted. That's probably the most important thing, you know, like, because the followers on TikTok are what I like to say, like, a warm crowd. They can follow you, but at the same time, everyone's looking at the For You page. They're not looking at the following tab.
Right.
So in order to see your content, they would have to click the following tab to, you know, keep up with their favorite creator. So the thing is that you can have 1 million followers and still get low views. Like when I posted this Michael Jackson video when, you know, I was like, okay, I got 1 million followers. Oh yeah. Like this is Michael Jackson. It's going to be huge. Mm-hmm. That video hit like maybe 10,000 views.
See, and I was that to me was the craziest realization when I started to understand TikTok, was that it goes both ways. Mm-hmm. That you can get that 500,000 views with 10 followers like you did initially, but you can also get just 10,000 views with 1 million followers. It goes both ways. And that's the craziest thing about it, is that it's not necessarily about how many followers you have. It's almost like you kind of have to figure out your system, and then every post is almost like you're playing the lottery. And it's just like, am I going to pull this ticket again? But you've learned which convenience stores consistently sell the winning tickets. So you keep going over to that one. It's like, you know, I do have to drive a half mile down this road and I got to go to this one, but this is the one that keeps delivering for me. And so you're like, no, I don't know if that analogy works, but either way,
it makes sense. You know? I get what you're saying.
It's
definitely, you got to have that tough skin, because you get 1 million followers, you're thinking you made it, and really no one really cares, you know? Like, it's just like, okay, you got 1 million followers on TikTok, like, so?
So what are some, tell me, like, why did you keep going? Like, you got 1 million followers, you're saying no one cares. Was anything in, I guess, let's call it the real world, happening for you? Were there doors opening? Were you meeting people? Was this translating to your music, like streams or gig opportunities or anything like that? We hear these stories of people going viral on TikTok and getting these followers, and sometimes it can propel a career. But I'm also curious, from your perspective, what has happened for you in that sense? And kind of step me through that journey a little bit.
Yeah, so I kept going because I realized that once I talked to that work at TikTok, pretty much I had just started. So I'm like, I have 1 million followers, but I have to think of it as I have zero followers. And so for me, I was always like, my goal was always to like get the vibraphone to the mainstream audience as much as possible. And that still is a goal, you know, like it's still there, you know, and TikTok was that vehicle to get me there faster. You know, while, you know, other musicians weren't willing to do like song requests and covers, I was, you know, and I'm like, well, why not? You know, they're already interested in, you know, wanting to hear from you. Right. Why not give it to them in a way that they can recognize and you can still present your art? So like, in a sense, it was also about connection, connecting with my audience, you know, and letting them know that their participation is valued.
Yeah.
And then like how it translated for me, like I did meet, you know, quite a few influencers. TikTok had just invited a few creators to an event. It was like for Black History Month. So I was able to meet like a lot of creators, meet a lot of TikTok workers. I was able to meet Puma. I was able to meet, I think it was like some other brands too. We met some celebrities and they were just kind of giving us, it was really cool. They gave us like just best practices on like how to excel on the platform. So it wasn't like your typical convention. It was more like, hey, this is how you like excel and like stay aware of your mental health, because we understand that like creators can get burnt out.
Sure.
You know, they can get, you know, just like discouraged, you know? And so it was really helpful. And I had met a creator who had told me like, yeah, just reach out to brands, you know, and see what happens. And I reached out to a clothing brand. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, hey, I love your clothes. Would love to just like post some videos, you know, for a paid collaboration. At this time, I didn't have an agent. I didn't know what I was doing.
Sure.
Like, all right, I'm just going to like take this message and, you know, change up a little bit my followers and my, you know, handles and whatnot. And they came back and it was like, yeah, like, well we want to work with you. So I did like a two month, like program where I was just like wearing their clothes,
cool,
playing the vibraphone and getting paid for it. I was like, amazing. Man, I was like, this is amazing. Like, this is...
right.
And then so when the 2 months came to an end, they're like, hey, we want to extend it. I was like, oh, you do? So hell, it was like another 2 months. So, and then the pandemic, as it was like going on, they couldn't continue it. So, and so that was like my first brand deal.
Cool.
And I was like, man, like, this is like easier than just like playing a jazz gig. Like, what the heck?
Right.
You know, like just play some covers, you know, and, you know, dress up. And, you know, it was like an experience that I've never really experienced before. Just like, I'm like in a dressing room of my own and well, in my living room, but
Did you have, so once you realize, wow, you can get paid for this, or at least you can have these kinds of partnerships and get free clothes. Did that continue? Did you approach more brands? How did more opportunities like that come through?
So I did approach a couple more brands at the time. Some of them, and the thing is that they will respond, which I was in my mind thinking that they wouldn't. But I would DM them on Instagram, let them know I'm a TikTok influencer, Instagram influencer, because at this time my followers on Instagram kept growing.
Cool.
And I said, hey, I'm interested in paid collaboration. I love your brand. Like, I reached out to a few of them and they were, excuse me, I just ate a burrito, but they responded, but that was like the clothing brand that I worked with was the only one that I got paid for. Some of them did send like product and say like, hey, we're, you know, kind of like up to our limit with influencers, but we want to send you product to see if you like it. And so I would just get like free product and just try it with no obligation to post. And I was like, okay, this is cool. Like free product, like free drinks, free caps, free this. Sure. I'm like, I don't have to pay for none of this, you know? Like, and the funny thing is that like, as an independent contractor, like that stuff matters when you pay for it, you know, like, you know, you try to claim things on taxes and you can't sometimes because it's not, you know, you know, if you try to claim a haircut, you know, they're like, well, you can't claim that because it's for personal and business use, or these clothes are for personal use. But if you get them for free, it's like, well,
there you go.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So it was, I didn't care, you know, that it didn't pay. It was just like, this is free. But I didn't, let me see, 2020, I did get another brand deal, but I got it through TikTok. So TikTok had, so another cool feature that TikTok has is that they have this thing called the Creator Marketplace.
Okay.
And what this does, this allows TikTok to pretty much host like a market where creators can get like brand deals right through the program.
Oh, wow. And, okay.
Yeah. And so you just like hit accept or, you know, do you want to do it? And so you'll get like a notification saying like, hey, this brand wants to work with you. You know, and And a lot of those brands, you know, sometimes are like, you know, they're either reaching out to you through TikTok or they're reaching out to you through your email. So it's, okay, it just really depends. But
sure.
But TikTok has also been very like helpful with just like getting like some opportunities to just work on their platform. And
cool.
And then so and yeah, and all of those paid. And then I didn't really get my like first Instagram deal until 2021. I forgot this is 2022 now. So
right.
Yeah. I had got like a brand deal with a drink company.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still.
Did they approach you or did you approach them?
So they approached me.
Okay.
And they were like, hey, we love what you do. Mm-hmm. And we want to work with you. And so I did like a drink post for them on Instagram. And this is now, still me being independent. So I have no agent.
So tell me, like, as much as you're comfortable revealing, but like, I think a lot of people are very curious to know what are the dollar amounts we're talking here. Like, are they with any of these brand deals? Or what, like, okay, will you post this with this drink or you're wearing the clothes? Are we talking, like, give me a ballpark of what we're talking here.
Sure thing. So for some brand deals, I can't talk about because they're sure. NDA signed.
Sure.
But I can at least say, like, for one of, like, so as a, like, benchmark, mm-hmm. like, I'm not accepting anything like on Instagram, like, and it's also based on you want to consider like your followers, your engagement, mm-hmm. Your content. You know, you want to mm-hmm. make sure that the content that you're posting is in line with the brand.
Sure.
Makes sense. So like for that brand that I worked with, like I made sure it didn't go lower than 1500.
And that's for one post.
Yep.
That's on Instagram.
Yep.
Gotcha. And what about
TikTok? TikTok, so TikTok have a higher following. And right. So I don't know if I could talk about the numbers there.
But it's more.
But it's way more. So, I mean, because okay. now that I have an agent, you know, like they primarily, I mean, we do all of my platforms, but,
okay.
But I would definitely advise like anyone who has like a substantial amount of following, like, don't do it anything for, I mean, if you're like, let's say you have a, you know, 500,000 followers or something and you do mm-hmm. like, I don't know, makeup or something, like, mm-hmm. I don't know, charge like $1,000. Like these, like there's a lot of brands that like will say, hey, we want to do it for like $50. We want to mm-hmm. do it for like $200. Like, I don't do anything that's less than four or five figures. You know,
okay.
like, because the thing is that like,
huge.
You have to think about like, if they were to run ads, let's just say on Facebook, you mm-hmm. know, they're paying for the cost per click. They're paying mm-hmm. for, you know, the engagement rate. They're paying for all of these things. So like, even if it's just like an ad, that's like $1 a day for like, mm-hmm. however many. You have to think about different ad copies and stuff like that. It would equal mm-hmm. up to a substantial amount, depending right. on like how much they scale and whatnot. Sure. And so instead of doing that, it's like, well, let's just go to an influencer. Mm-hmm. And they're probably still running ads too. So you could almost equate that your value is a little mm-hmm. bit higher because, well, probably even a lot more higher because an ad, mm-hmm. most people ignore those.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, but an influencer, if you follow someone and you value what they do, that value within itself is what the brand is paying for. So you can essentially charge higher. But if you're, you know, taking like something in the $100 range, $200 range, you're already shortchanging yourself. I always mm-hmm. tell, you know, influencers, like they say, hey, what should I charge? Like, well, think about your following. Think about, you know, your follow count, your engagement. What mm-hmm. is your percentage and your engagement rate? You can look up that on like certain websites. But, you know, like, don't start low. Don't go lower than 1,000. Don't go lower.
And that's and where's that benchmark? Because I'm curious. I know there's a lot of people listening to this right now, and you know, mostly musicians right now listening to this, who are like, oh, I have 200,000 followers. I have 800,000 followers, or whatever. Is there a kind of a an equation, I guess, of like you have X number of followers that equals X number of dollars per post or anything like that? Are there hard set rules like that out there?
There isn't, because
okay.
the thing is, and I even thought the same thing too when I was first, you know, like posting, like, oh, well, based on the followers, I charge this. But it's because the thing is, you also want to factor in like what work you have to do the post. So like, let's say they might want you to, you know, post at 9 a.m., you know, then they want you to write this caption and then they want you to do this and wave your hand this way. And, you know, so you have to like think about like the actual work too. Mm. And I think that like, you won't really find a lot. I mean, you probably will now, but you won't really find a lot of like publications online that will say, hey, factor in like the work that it takes to put in. So since I do a lot of music stuff, and obviously there's a big music fan base for this podcast, factor in like maybe like your craft, like how long did it take you to learn the song, or how long will it take you to learn the song? Are they asking you to, you know, like for one of the companies I did, they were asking me to create a jingle. And and so it's like, that means I have to create the song, I have to use their company slogan. It has to be catchy. I have to mix it. I have to master it. I have to sing the vocals. So, you know, you start thinking about that.
That's almost like that's a full on, I mean, that's either a licensing deal or that's a full on, they're hiring you to create a jingle for them. I mean, that's like way beyond the typical scope of a social media influencer.
Oh, big time. Yeah. And so, and then not only that, I had to shoot the video. I had to do voiceover work for it, you know, like, so you have to think about like the work that you've put in plus the social media metrics. So it's not really like a set hard, fast rule. You know, I think it's just, I think if anything, like, you know, aim high, you know, like, but also think about like the worth and the value and the work that you're going to put in, the time and stuff like
that. Yeah, that's a really great point. And I think, you know, for people that are still very new to what influencer marketing is, just to clarify, a typical deal that you're getting is the brand is hiring you to make a post on your own profile, typically in the style of how you do it. So would you say the majority of the deals that you're getting, they say, we just want you to hit these points. We want you to incorporate our product somehow or this. And then they kind of give you the freedom and flexibility to make the video however you want. Or do they say, or is it the other end of the extreme? Are you essentially a paid actor to recite a script, show up at a location, and they're filming you as the personality?
So, I mean, like, it's actually, it can be anything. I mean, like, you have the companies that say, hey, we just want you to be you, you know, like, then we have the companies that say, we want you to be you, but then they have all these instructions on the back end. And then you have the companies that's just like, we have no idea what we want you to do. We just want this. So it's almost in a sense like you have to like kind of read the room, because most of these companies, they're like, they can be in just corporate offices and they like, they're like handling the project, but they're not like creators themselves. They're just like, we have no idea. We've just been handed this project. We know we want this. Like, we want it to sound like, you know, something from the 80s, but then it's got to be like 2022. But you also got to put like the, you know, the sound of like the Baroque period too. And you're like, well, I don't know how that works. And, you know, you just have to like try your, you know, just kind of give your best judgment. I will say that like a rule of thumb that I did learn from like a friend of mine back when I was living in Chicago, he was saying like the best way to like figure out what your like worth and like what to charge is to like add up like your rent, your bills, like all of that, that number, and then have at least one gig, or in this case, one brand deal that would cover that. So in a sense, instead of you paying the rent, the brand deal is paying the rent.
Right.
You know, and then what other brand deals you get, you know, you could essentially, you know, just make on, you know, make extra. So, so that way every month your bills are covered. And I used to do that, you know, for all my gigs. Like, all right, this one gig is going to cover all of my monthly bills. And then what other gigs I get that remainder of the month, then that would just be extra. So, but
as a freelance musician, a hired gun, you were making, you would get one gig that would pay all of your bills for the month. No way.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
One jazz gig?
Once he told me that, I ran with it. I was, oh, really? That's how
I gotta learn how you're living, because man, I don't know.
Yeah, what? Yeah.
All right, cool.
I would figure out. I mean, the thing is, I would figure out, like, all right, what one gig, or if it's even two gigs, would, cover that whole month, like, bills, like, oh yeah. And then
it's kind of like, yeah, when you're going on tour, it's kind of like we call them like the tent pole gigs, where it's just like you have these high paying gigs that will pay for the entire rest of the tour. If these other gigs on tour don't pay very well, at least you know you have your tent pole gigs that will cover the entirety of the tour. So it's the same kind of concept, I guess.
It's like doing it, it's like a muscle, though. You have to, like, look mm-hmm. out for those gigs and, like,
yeah,
you know, kind of put that as a priority. And so he even said that, like, okay, whatever that monthly expenses is, just, like, I don't know, double it, you know, and just see, like, if, you know, because he said most of the times that these companies, they have a budget, and they have a huge right. budget.
Yes.
It's just that they're not going to approach you with all of the budget, because obviously right. they might want to reach out to other influencers or sure. other musicians or whatever it is. But they're going to, you know, like, if they say, yeah, we'll do that, you know, that's no problem, mm-hmm. then you probably could have negotiated higher. So right. if you said, hey, let's say some musician is like, hey, you know, like, they get approached by a brand deal or mm-hmm. a company or whoever, and it's like, I'll charge $1,500. And they say, okay, more mm-hmm. than likely, you probably could have charged $3,000.
That's a great point.
And they probably they probably said, okay.
Yeah, 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 exactly. You know your worth. That's a really great point. So have you ever gotten a brand deal? Because of TikTok is such a lottery, and you said it can go both ways. You have 8.5 million followers now, and you could get, you know, just a few thousand views. Has that ever happened either way, when you got a brand deal where they're paying you a lot of money and the video just flops?
So mainly, like, all ad videos, like brand van, like videos, they aren't, like, the best performing, because people know it's an ad.
Sure.
And the thing is that, like, there's, like, these FCC regulations too, that you have to put. So you have to make sure it says ad.
It says ad. Yeah.
Yeah. And so as soon as a viewer see that, the video's going to mm-hmm. flop. Like, easy. Yeah. And so it's like, the thing is just that, like, there's definitely some, you know, influencers who, like, figured out a way to, like, make sure that the video is engaging enough that people that know it's an ad will still engage with it. But
I mean, you say the video is going to flop, but I'm looking at this KFC video that you just did not too long ago. That has 4.6 million views, and you're mm-hmm. holding up a spicy chicken sandwich, and it's the first thing it says hashtag ad. You're playing the vibraphone, you're drinking some Mountain Dew, but, like, that video did pretty well.
So it did well because, you know, like, you can run ads on. So the thing is, like, TikTok has a feature now where I don't know if Instagram has it and if YouTube has it, but you can mm-hmm. run ads on, like, a brand can say, okay, we want to run ads on that post, like, kind of a new thing, which is, it's cool, you know, like, but yeah, so you can run ads on.
Oh, that's so interesting. So you made this video, you posted it on your TikTok profile, and then KFC ran that as an ad on TikTok, so it got more views. Okay, that does happen in the Facebook Ads Manager as well, where you can, a video that you've uploaded to either Facebook or Instagram, you can use that as the ad.
That's right. Yeah.
And then
so it's a similar situation.
That makes a lot of sense. Okay, because I was the engagement's a little bit lower on this one than your other ones, but the views are super high, and that's interesting. Okay, that's really cool.
Yeah, so you can run ads. So, and
YouTube's the same way.
Yeah, so most of the times mm-hmm. that, like, you know, companies will probably opt in to, like, run ads on it. So
that makes sense.
I think the difference is that, like, with Facebook and Instagram, like, you have to, like, if you're posting it, then you're mm-hmm. also the one that have to run
Where
TikTok is different is that I can post it, but I can give the access to the company to run ads.
Oh, interesting. Very cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
And on YouTube, you can do that. They call them, like, the TrueView ads, where, same thing, where you can run ads, and that's how a lot of videos will get a bunch of, because even if it's like, you know, plays 30 seconds before another video, you have an original video on YouTube that you've uploaded to your channel, mm-hmm. and you could just run that as the ad. And so that view count will go up every time it's played as an ad for 30 seconds. It will still count as that view. But I didn't realize TikTok, that was a feature TikTok was offering now. So that's really cool. That's really interesting.
It really, and I think that like for brands, it gives them that control of like,
sure.
you know, and that flexibility of like, okay, like how long we want. Cause then they're testing the ad to see like, mm-hmm. all right, like, does this piece of content or ad copy work with mm-hmm. their goals, you know, mm-hmm. and they could probably cut it after 30 days or maybe extend it for 60 days or, you know, obviously they have to ask permission, and then that mm-hmm. does cost more money.
That's so crazy because, like, you know, I did a little bit of acting in LA, one of my many career paths and one of my many different hyphenates that I've had in my career. It's like I was an actor for like 4 or 5 years here in LA doing the actor lifestyle, driving around doing auditions. I was doing commercial acting, TV acting, movies. You know, I was the hitchhiker in Mad Men for any of the Mad Men enthusiasts. Third to last episode, go rewatch that. You'll see me, John Hamm, Don Draper picks me up in his car. So I had a tiny curly hair too. I had the curly hair. People, there was like a variety piece that came out. I was like, was that Bob Dylan that Don Draper picked up on the thing? That's there hilarious. Was like a whole, yeah, it was amazing. But so like, you know, it was so interesting because I was doing commercial acting too, and I would drive around doing auditions, and just to see, I was in this like Budweiser commercial one time, and you know, there's 100 people on set putting this whole commercial together, and there's 20 actors that are hired that are not to mention the background actors that are there, and we're like the main ones, and then there's the director, and then there's the DP, and there's the lighting, and then there's the whole, you know, ad agency that put together. We're talking probably hundreds of people to do one commercial spot that who knows when it was running on all TV and stuff like that, if it even got 5 million eyeballs on it, if you're really thinking about that, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like now they can pay one person
yeah.
to do a video that might do even better than these crazy high production value videos that it used to take to put together a full commercial. And that's just a crazy time.
For a fraction of the cost.
For a fraction of the cost, exactly. Yeah. Real quick, I want to let you know about Two Lost. Two Lost is a new distribution company to the space. And let me tell you, I am very impressed with them. I got a full deep dive demo with the founder. And yeah, they're very innovative. And when you come into the distribution space at this stage with how crowded it is, you better be innovative. And they are. Yes, they will get your music out to Spotify, Apple Music, all the places, plus 450 other outlets around the world. They do not take a commission. This is why 300,000 artists and labels have already used them. They've already distributed 7 million songs. They offer payment splitting, and they don't charge your collaborators for this service for the payment splitting. They will just pay your collaborators directly for free. They have publishing administration with BMG, so you know it's legit. A lot of distributors have fallen into trouble with using some other less than legit pub admin services. Well, Two Lost is partnered with BMG. You know it's legit. They offer instant royalty advances. This is something that's very cool. And if you have historical streaming data and you need just a bulk payment up front, they can see how much your music has earned in the past. I'm like, all right, we think we know what you're going to earn in the next 3 years. Here's a check for $100,000 or whatever it will be. And you can just click a button and get that distributed and into your account immediately. They do lyrics and credits distribution for free. They have a very innovative analytics platform where, yes, you will see real-time analytics for Spotify, Apple Music, but also Pandora, Deezer, SoundCloud, and Peloton. They're the only ones that do Peloton. They also have a service where you can search the internet wherever your music is being used, and it will just show you a chart of everywhere, every TikTok video, everywhere, every YouTube video, everywhere your music is possibly being used. I've never seen this before. That was very cool. They'll register you with SoundExchange, and they have a fraud prevention tool, and they're doing fraud prevention. So if you're worried about your music, you know, getting a bot attack or something like that and getting ripped down, which we've seen is a big issue, they have fraud prevention tools that are better than most other distributors that I have seen. check out Two Lost. You can just go to twolost.com, use the promo code Ari's Take for 3 months free and try them out. Let them know what you think.
Yeah,
So I want to transition a little bit because I know there's a lot of people listening to this who aren't necessarily at the influencer level, but this is so fascinating because it's like to get a portal into the inside of how this works. It's like you're lifting up this curtain, and like so many people are just like have no idea, and this isn't really discussed or written about anywhere. So like, thank you for sharing all this. I know there's a lot of people out there who are like, well, I want to be more successful on TikTok. I want to, I'm posting videos, but they're all flopping and you know, I can't get it. Like, what are your recommendations for the musicians specifically out there to build up a following on TikTok and to stay inspired and to not burn out, like you mentioned? And as we know, social media can be extremely detrimental to your mental health. Like, what is your advice to musicians out there?
Yeah, for sure. So I have to say that, like, I mean, for those who don't know me, like, I came from a very, like, jazz elitist background. So I was all about, like, I can play blues choruses around anybody in this room, you know, like, yes. And didn't really care if...
I mean, you've played with Herbie Hancock. I'm just throwing that out there, so...
I didn't, but, you know, but...
At NAMM, we talked about...
Oh, when
we, Yeah. No, I know. That was when we met. I'm not going to tell the story, but that's how we met Herbie Hancock.
That's true.
Anyway, yeah. Okay, continue.
So it's like, I was that guy. Like, I wasn't selling out... I wasn't going to play anything that wasn't like the straight ahead or the bebop, you know, like, and I was all about like being the cool vibraphonist, you know, that could, you know, play circles around whoever wanted to play, you know, like the most intricate jazz song there is, you know, and it didn't matter what mix meter, you know, it was in or anything, you know, 15-4, you got it. I got it. Okay, cool. All the, you know, the flat sevens and whatever. So I came from that to now you see my videos and you're like, man, he's only playing like three notes.
Right.
Like, what is this? Who is this guy?
Yeah.
I think the thing is that like, there's a couple mindset things that I would love to share that really helped me get to where I'm at now. And I think the first and foremost was just being open to change. You know, like I already had like this desire to want to do greater as many of the musicians here who are watching. But I didn't really know like what that looked like or like how or what that even sounded like. Yeah, I just knew I wanted to do greater. I also knew that like lifestyle wise, I didn't want to be a jazz musician for the rest of my life. And that's no diss to any jazz musician that is listening or even the ones that we, you know, have been inspired by, you know, like, but the average jazz musician, you know, like probably doesn't even make anywhere close to what Miles Davis made, you know, like income wise. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, like, well, let's say Miles Davis is six figures, you know, and the average jazz musician didn't make that. I'm like, I need to get to whatever Miles Davis did. And Miles Davis was thinking forward. That's what he was doing. And and so I'm like, all right, well, let me think forward into what's available now. Like our piece of technology that we use a lot that's the most updated is our music instrument. But to the average person, their piece of technology that's the musical instrument was TikTok. Because it has all the music. It has all of their favorite artists. And it allows them to shoot a video on their phone. I'm like, this is the latest technology. So I was like, all right, let me be open to what's going on today. That's first and foremost, being open. Second, not caring about what other people think. It was huge. So like I had to stop thinking about what my peers thought about me and what I wanted my audience to think, you know, like, and who and how can I connect? And that was just simply as like, let me do covers. Like I already do covers as a jazz musician. What's wrong with doing song requests? And obviously, you know, you've got the greats who's like, I'm not doing a song request. You know, I think like what Frank Sinatra didn't do song requests or something like that. I can't remember, but you know, which is no diss to him or, you know, I mean, obviously like Frank Sinatra is ridiculous, but like, Like, I myself, I'm not Frank Sinatra, so I don't have that type of leverage, you know?
Sure,
like,
sure.
So I was open to doing song requests when my peers weren't, you know? And I started thinking, like, man, I'm busting my tail, like, to set up this vibraphone, break it down, play these jazz covers, which are, they're standards, but they're covers. Mm. And I'm like, well, wait a second, I could just do covers from my crib, and I don't have to worry about if someone couldn't make the gig. You know, like they could just go on their phone and see that I'm doing these covers, you know, at any time. And so I was like, man, for the work I'm putting in, I can get a lot more bang for my buck just by staying home and doing covers. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, like, when you do song requests, you can pick and choose. Like, you don't have to answer every song request. So I pick and chose ones that I thought represented me, you know, and that they still sounded good on the vibraphone. And but still it was, you know, enough for the audience to be like, okay, this sounds recognizable. I think I will follow. You know what I mean? So that was really it. And just kept going. Like, I just, like, you know, I'm just going to keep doing this until I, you know, hit a goal. So I'm like, I want to hit 1 million followers. I wrote it down. I'm like, all right, what am I going to do? I'm going to do song requests, and I'm going to, like keep doing that until I get the response or get the goal that I want. And so, and then once I hit 1 million followers, I started writing down new goals. Like, all right, well, I don't need to get 2 million followers. I don't need to get 3, but then, like, I'm just going to, like, stop and not post anything.
Right.
Like, it's just like, so I was like, let me see if I can hit 2 million. And that was hard because it was like, well, why do I need to hit 2 million? I already hit one. Like, so, you know, you can get in your head a lot. Mm-hmm. But I think, like, for anyone that's listening, like, definitely take advantage of TikTok. It responds the fastest, at least, you know. And even Reels and YouTube Shorts, they're all doing similar things, similar numbers now. Where, like, recently I posted videos on – so I would, like, repost the videos on TikTok onto Instagram and YouTube without the logo. Because sometimes when you download from TikTok, it has a logo.
Yep.
And I remember, like, on YouTube, like, a month later, I wasn't even looking. Like, I had, like, so by this time, like, that I'm talking, I already had, like, 60,000 subscribers. And I jumped to, like, 130 in a night, like, in, like, half a day.
Wow. Is that when you posted evolution of vibraphone?
It was video? One of them. It was one of them. Yeah. And I asked, at the time I was working with a marketing agency for a song. I was like, hey, are y'all running ads? Like, what's going on? He's like, no, we haven't done anything. And I'm like, checking. And then I checked YouTube. I was like, oh, it's like just blowing up on YouTube. So the thing is crazy. That, like, now all of the companies are doing the same type of algorithm that allows you to reach new audiences. So, I mean, if you're a musician, you're like, I don't know where to start. I'd say start with covers, you know, like, and don't be afraid to step out of the box, you know, like, and play those covers, because the thing is that, like, you are still going to be that killing jazz musician at the end of the day, you know, like, maybe people might not know that on, you know, on their phones looking at you. But what happens is that you always have the opportunity to let them know that later. Sure. So, because now they're following you versus they weren't following you, and, you know, you're trying to let them know, hey, this is my original song that I wrote. It's this and it's that and it's this and it's that. And it's like, well, you're playing in front of an empty crowd versus, you know, you have people who, you know, are engaged with you, and now you want to do something like that. They're going to support you.
Absolutely. And that, you know, a lot of opportunities can come when you have this platform and this following. And if you can step up and deliver for the opportunities, you know, they say that luck is merely when preparation meets opportunity. So if you create this opportunity for yourself, because you're an influencer, you have a bunch of followers on a platform, and then you get an opportunity at a big jazz, let's say it's like, hey, we want you to play this, play at the Grammys with Herbie and all the other jazz cats and everyone who's hot right there. And it's like, we're doing a little thing here. Now, if you could only play 4 notes on the vibraphone because that's what you became famous for on TikTok, you wouldn't have been able to, you couldn't deliver at that kind of a gig. But you're at a point and most musicians, if you're getting to that professional level, whereas like if that opportunity comes, you have prepared enough through your entire career that you'll be able to deliver when that opportunity arises.
Exactly. And
you don't have to prove yourself every single video that you can do everything and anything.
And that's right. I think that's where I even got caught up before I started. It was like, well, I got to prove that I can play, you know, these crazy changes every gig, you know? And it's like no different than like a store putting everything on discount. You know, it's like either this is like, okay, if this store is on discount, they're either about to go out of business or, you know what I'm saying? Like, and that's the thing. It's like, you don't think about that. Like, okay, if I'm always putting my best foot forward, which is you want to do that. But if you're always, like you said, having to do it out of like validation or proving, then you're in a sense kind of like going opposite of your goal, because you don't really want to have to prove yourself all the time. Like, I have to tell you every day that my name is Justin. Like, you know,
you should know
that my name is Justin. So, and so I think that like once you start to like look at the possible pros of what social media can offer and just trying it out, like if not everyone, like close to everyone has the capability of just posting on social media and just, you know, like I when I started, I had no ring light, which is what is casting onto me right now. I just did like my regular, like IKEA light.
Yeah.
Had like a tripod that I bought from like Walmart or something like that. And I was just posting videos, and those videos were going viral without even the proper lighting, you know, and so, you know, I think that like, you know, like if you're just like, you know, genuinely like, all right, you know what, like I'm going to just post and just kind of see what happens and, you know, just be genuine to your audience, you know, like see what they want to hear. And, you know, I mean, it's a great start. I mean, I've also would take ideas from other influencers and do those as well. That's all TikTok is just taking other people's ideas, you know?
Yeah.
And, the evolution, the funny thing is the evolution series came from another influencer that I saw him doing like the evolution of singing. So it wasn't even something I created. It was like, oh, he's doing 1 month of singing, 1 day of singing and all this other stuff. I'm like, well, you know what? Let me try it on the vibraphone. You know, like I didn't know it was going to blow. I just tried it. I was like, all right, this is what 1 day of vibraphone looks like. And I'm like, I don't know, what does 1 day of vibraphone look like? I just get a little, you know, glist, you know, like, I guess that's 1 day. And and then I realized people was like, hey, do more of these. I'm like, oh, okay. Sure. I really didn't know. So I just kept doing it, you know? And so, yeah, like take other people's ideas, take my ideas. Like, like the thing is that like, it's pretty much anyone's ball game. Like don't even try to reinvent the wheel. Just, you know, like do things with your, you know, your twist, but take other people's ideas and, you know, like, and if it works, you know, like, and I was just testing things out and just see what worked. And if it didn't work, I'd stop doing it.
Yeah, that's great advice. That's so helpful. And the mindset, especially, it's so important for musicians to hear that. And coming from you, you know, a phenomenal jazz musician, someone who's got the chops that can do everything, it's just like you realize that you don't have to prove yourself, prove your chops with every video. And you're using the most innovative technology, just like our influences use the most innovative techniques and technology at the time. And now we're doing the same thing. It's just looks slightly different than what we're used to and what we grew up on. And that's, you know, the innovators are always the ones that succeed and win and are remembered, if you're innovating with what you could do in your artistry. I wanna switch gears again and just touch on your career as a songwriter and producer, and I see you have something framed behind you that's kind of out of frame. Is that a gold record? What is that?
It is a gold record. Yeah, actually,
you got to have that in the frame when we're talking. That's like that should be over your shoulder the whole time. I just see a little
such.
There we go. All right, there we go. Yeah.
I have another one over there too, but
okay. Yeah, so let's talk about your gold records.
Yeah. So funny thing is, like, I ordered it and now it's platinum. And I'm like, well, dang, like I'm like, can I send this one back? You know, but
yeah, yeah.
But nice. So yes, yeah, so I that started. One for? This one's for Tyga, the rapper. He had an album that came out. I want to say that's probably 2020. I can't see from this far, but and I did a couple songs on that album, and yeah, and the album went, I think it went platinum by now. I just hadn't ordered it because amazing. I'm like, well, I don't know where to put it. Like,
yeah,
which is a good problem to have, you know, like if you're a songwriter. But I started doing the songwriting thing. So funny thing is, like, as I was doing the jazz thing, I was doing a lot of production stuff. But I saw like many failures with that, just like not getting placements and not really connecting with like different songwriters that I wanted to connect with at the time, you know, and but I was always working on my craft, which musicians and songwriters that are listening to this, we're always doing that. So I was just always like making new beats, like, you know, whether it's recording myself, working with just like local artists, and but I always had this desire to like just get like a major placement of some sort and have a platinum record, like just hanging on my wall. And I still don't have it, even though I have it, but I just didn't order it. So
you're going to have to order for that.
I got
to
order it. So, but once I moved here to LA, I'd say like maybe 2 years ago. I'm sorry, this is 2022 now. So yeah, 2 years after I moved, I met up with this producer named DA. DA is actually from Chicago, but he lives out here too. And he hit me up on Facebook, actually, which is I don't even use Facebook. And then, you know, another thing, like, even though I just said I don't use Facebook, I'm about to contradict myself. Like, just going back to the whole mental thing, there was a thing that, like, I was like, oh, well, I only want to post on TikTok. I don't want to post on Instagram. I don't want to post on YouTube. Be open to post anywhere because you never know where your audiences are. But anyway, that's just a slight thing. But, and so I don't use Facebook. He reached out to me on like a DM, like, just like, hey, you want to work? And I was just like, yeah, who's this? Who wants to know? You know, because it's like, and I don't know what, I think I like signed on to Facebook like randomly or something like that, just like checking it. And yeah, he hit me with an agreement and whatnot. I was like, okay, like, this is new.
You know, how did
like,
he find you? How did he, where did this come from?
I think he found me from like a friend of a friend or something like that. Like he had heard about me. I think a songwriter he was working with was also like, he had also went to like the school that I went to in Chicago. So that's my guess, but we still don't know. Yeah. And he was like, yeah, like, you know, if you could just like record some vibraphone on some of these like trap beats, I'm like, sure, you know, like, so I had a setup here, and I just like, you know, set up some mics with a laptop, recorded some vibraphone loops, sent it back to him. Then I went to his crib and we did some stuff in person, setting up the vibes and whatnot. And and this is like in between all the touring time that I was doing.
And is this when you were touring with Capital Cities?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then a year later. Actually, maybe it was, I'm sorry, maybe it was, you know what? I think it was 2016. And then a year later, 2017, we got our first placement with Chris Brown and Future.
Wow.
And he was like, man, like, that's really rare to work with someone. And a year later, we get a placement. Usually be like,
now, did
a couple
he have a publishing deal? And is that how the songs are being shopped?
So he, I think he had a publishing situation with Cobalt at the time.
Okay,
I think.
Sure.
But I don't think he was shopping it through Cobalt. I think he was just independent, just shopping.
Gotcha.
Through his own connects.
Sure.
And he was like, hey man, it's like really rare to get a placement within the first year.
Yeah.
You know, like let's keep working. I was like, all right, cool, you know, and then we kept working, and the year after that we got another placement with and it was like my biggest single even to date, which is ZZ, and that's with Kodak Black, Travis Scott, and Offset. And by this time,
are you playing on that?
So I was gonna say, by this time he figured out that I'm a producer. So this time I'm not playing on that. A lot of people think I am, but I'm actually doing the 808 on that song.
Oh no shit. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. So I like, you know, so there are times where he's like, hey, play a vibraphone, or hey, play some keys, or add some 808, or add some, you know, he doesn't figure it out that like I have a little production setup of my own.
Cool.
So he's asked me to do all these other things. Not only that, he's also asked me, hey, sing some vocals here, sing some vocals there, you know, like sing some, like, you know, just some vowel sounds or whatever. So I'm doing like the whole nine in a sense.
But you're not playing the steel drums. That's kind of the opening of the song, right?
There's another guy who's playing the steel drums.
Cool. So, okay.
But a lot of people think that I'm playing the steel drums on it, which is fair to think. I mean, I get it, you know.
Yeah.
But that led me to him offering me a deal with Warner Chappell. And so now I have a songwriting publishing deal with Warner Chappell. Mm-hmm. And it's been cool because during that first year, we've just been getting placements, Tyga being one of them. Amazing. We got an Eminem placement, which is huge on his album.
Incredible.
Yeah. We've gotten another Chris Brown placement for his album. And so we had like been placing like back to back.
Wow.
And go ahead.
Step me through how this works. I'm really curious. So you have this pub deal with Warner Chappell. Are you just working with DA? Is it just the two of you working and then you send it off to the artist and the artist essentially finishes the song with their own producers, or do you then get in the room with the artist and finish the song there?
So it really depends. Most of the time it's been all like online where it's like DA's like, hey, here's a loop. Can you send it back? Because I mean, nowadays like songwriting is like now done at home with all the home studios. So you have a lot of people that just can write from the comfort of their own home. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, I mean, there's studio sessions. I mean, obviously with the pandemic, there's not as much. But before the pandemic, I think I had like maybe one or two studio sessions where I was in the studio with the artist.
Okay.
But nowadays, everyone's doing a home studio thing. So it's like having a setup is like the most important thing, at least when it came to working with DA. You know, I've always had a home setup of my own, just because like I always just wanted to make beats and stuff, but not even realizing that was like the way the music industry was heading. You know, that's the way they were going.
Right.
Home studio. So, all of the stuff we did was like online. He would send it to the artist, and then I don't know if it was through the A&R or maybe to the artist directly. It really was like his connections. I just sit back and just like do the musical part.
Yep.
And I sent him the files and that was it, you know? So he kind of like did a lot of the hard work in a sense.
Nice.
Like a lot of the stuff we did was just circulating around different labels and eventually they would get placed. So that's pretty much like how that process was. I'll say it's definitely like, it's simple, but it's also like one that's like, I'm very fortunate to be in because there's a lot of like, I'll say like songwriters and artists who, or it's like songwriters and musicians who work with producers that don't get like a publishing situation.
Absolutely.
And they're doing like work for hire. So, where with DA, it translated to like actually receiving back in. So, so I'm very fortunate in that regard. And
I mean, I want to touch it. You breezed past that point for a second, but I think it's a really important point to hit.
Yeah.
There is, and unfortunately, this is pretty prevalent, primarily in the hip hop world, not so much in pop or rock or other realms where producers, it's almost like you're shadow writing. It's kind of like you get hired to come in. It's almost like you're like a staff writer, essentially. Like you get paid to write the song, but you don't get the credit. And you don't get the credit, you don't get the back end. And it's kind of under the table almost, as in just like, here, just will you just like come in and participate in the session? Whereas like you really should be getting that songwriting credit. Legally, you're entitled to it, but a lot of people don't want to rock the boat and be like, well, by law, shouldn't I have a songwriting credit here? Like, shouldn't my publishing company connect this? Shouldn't my PRO pay me the money? Like, all that stuff. Shouldn't the MLC give me some money? But, and so a lot of especially young songwriters fall into those situations where they're not being – frankly, properly respected as a songwriter. And if, you know, you're listening to this and you're in this situation where you're not being respected as a songwriter and you're not being given the proper credit, you know, then you should, like the theme of what we're talking about, know your worth and know that you are entitled to credit and back end and all. And if you are bringing the talent, and you have that talent and you have these credits and experience, then you absolutely are entitled to that credit and that back end.
Oh yeah, big time. It's I mean, you're absolutely right. It's a lack of respect for the craft, the energy, the time that you put into, mm-hmm. you know, and it just kind of goes, it's kind of full circle. We were talking about it in the TikTok. You want to consider the work that you're putting in as yes. value, because it's very valuable. I mean, it's all you have in a sense. If you're a musician, like, you've worked on, you know, figuring out that guitar technique or like the inflections mm-hmm. in your voice for a reason, not just to sound right. good. You know what right. I mean? Like yep. sounding good is like, that's part of it, obviously, but mm-hmm. you obviously want it to, like, I mean, you don't want to think of it as this, but you invested time to mm-hmm. learn your craft, you know, mm-hmm. hoping that it would pay itself forward. You know what I mean? Yep. Like it's, yep. and I mean, obviously you do get like an immediate enjoyment out of it, but you still wanted to get like some type of like later down the road enjoyment too, where you sure. can receive a publishing check or receive like they call mailbox money, you know, like, right. And yeah, it's unfortunate that so many musicians are kind of like in a sense abused mm-hmm. in that realm. And it doesn't feel like abuse because it's like, well, if you don't even know that you're being abused, you're just kind of going along with it, you know, like mm-hmm. you're just, oh, mm-hmm. it's just how the industry is. Like, but no, you are entitled to receiving, you know, you're entitled to receiving a paycheck that is a publishing check and receiving credit for it. You
absolutely.
Know? And,
absolutely.
And, you know, at the time, like DA was kind of like that unheard of producer who was doing it, you know, like mm-hmm. it's like, okay, you know, I'm going to roll with this, you know, like, yeah. and, every time we got placed, he made sure, you know, like I got the credit, you know, we would, you know, talk about a percentage and I'd make sure I'd see it on the song, my name. And, mm-hmm. and now that it's with, Warner Chappell, I can see mm-hmm. my percentage breakdown and all that other stuff, what territories is being played, how much I'm sure. going to receive, you know? So it's amazing. It's definitely, yeah, it's great. You know, it's yeah. right all in the phone app. So,
yeah, I love it.
But yeah, you're right. It's one of those things that like, hopefully musicians can, you know, not look at like the opportunity as itself and mm-hmm. feel like, oh, well, you know, I think that was one of the things that I was okay with, was like burning bridges, you know, like, or not even burning bridges. It's like, if this is some like, you know, producer who you just met, and I'm not even talking about DA, but just some random sure. person yeah. you met that wants to work with you and they can't seem to give you like the terms that you ask for, you're not really mm-hmm. burning bridges with someone you no. don't know.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're yeah. just saying no. And I think a lot of musicians are afraid to do that because yes. it's like, well, this could get me to the next level and this could, mm-hmm. and it's like, it's kind of a lottery mindset. You have to look at it mm-hmm. at like, look at it for what it is. It's an opportunity to get maybe a $300 check, but is that really worth it? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, is
right.
it, you know, it's not like they're about to, you know, put you in front of America's Got Talent and you're about, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like it,
right.
it could happen, but to hold your
unlikely.
Breath.
Unlikely. They wave yeah. that in front of a lot of inexperienced, young, naive songwriters, artists, and they say, hey, well, you get to be in the room with me. You get to work with me. This is, you know, and they give them a $300 check, and that song goes on to make millions, and you're still sitting twiddling your thumbs with your $300. Like, that's not right.
And they're going on vacation.
Right.
You know,
speaking of vacation, perfect transition. I wore my vacay shirt today for you because
nice.
I want to ask, like, what is the next? So what's coming next for Justin Vibes? Like, you know, your song Vacay, I loved all the promos that you did on TikTok for that. They're so much fun. It's a perfect song for that. You have great music yourself as the artist, Justin Vibes. What's next? Are you working on an album? Like, what is 2022 looking like for you?
So for Justin Vibes 2022, I'm releasing a lot more original music.
Awesome.
So I actually just, before talking to you, I've been listening to two singles I just finished. I got it back from the mastering house.
Congratulations. Huge.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Yeah. And so just, you know, last minute tweaks, but I'm also working on new songs. So the goal is to release like as many singles as possible, get some music videos going like an artist would do. And yeah, like I'll be revisiting Vacay with a campaign this year, hoping that we can all travel and go, you know, wherever we want to go. But
seriously.
You know, I think like Vacay isn't done growing. So I'm going to keep putting some fuel behind that. And I'm doing everything myself when it comes to like the production, the songwriting, the recording, and the writing of the lyrics. And then I usually send it to like a mixing engineer.
Sure.
And then a mixing engineer, then to the mastering engineer. So everything I'm doing myself, I'll be doing some content around that where you'll see some TikToks, you'll see some Instagram reels and
YouTube
shorts with the original music and still doing some covers, you know, just, you know, kind of keep the fuel going with that as well. You'll probably see more of the artist Justin Vibes than you would the vibraphonist.
Great. Do you do much co-writing or working with other producers, other writers for your own artist project?
I haven't yet.
Okay.
I want to, and I think that'll probably come this year. That's what I'm hoping. But with the whole like pandemic, I just kind of was like, you know what? Let me just get these songs that I need to get done out of the way, and then I can start. Because the thing is, it's like, most people know me as a vibraphonist. So like majority of my audience, they know me as a vibraphonist. So if I say, hey, let's write a song, they might think I'm going to like bring my vibraphone and just play some type of like, you know, nursery rhyme, which, you know, where some people don't even know that I actually have original music, which is fine. It's okay for your audience to only know one part of you, you know?
And
So like,
well, when you have that initial call with them on FaceTime, you know, you just stand in front of your gold record, which will soon be a platinum record on your wall. And then they'll be like, yeah, do you want to do a session with me? Cool. All right.
Exactly. There you go. And then they're like, oh, I didn't know you produced. Like, oh, yeah. So,
well, Justin, this is really great chatting with you. It's so exciting to hear all the things that you're working on. And it's so cool to see that you're continuing to innovate. You're continuing to grow as a professional, as an artist, as a songwriter, producer, as a player, hired everything. I mean, you know, you wear so many different hats and you excel at all of them, which is very rare. Keep it up. I have one final question that I ask everybody who comes on the show. What does it mean to you to make it in the new music business?
Well, for so long, I was trying to like stay afloat as a musician. And I feel like to make it in the new music business is learning business. That was like one of my goals. Like, and so I definitely encourage any musician listening to this, songwriter, learn business, like learn. I mean, percentages is your best friend. Learning percentages, learning. I mean, even though it's like a new music business, but percentages aren't going away. You know, that's part of like our natural mathematics system. Like that's not going away. That's going to be in every new music business possible. But learning percentages, making it a new music business means using new technology, not being afraid to embrace the new, you know, and, you know, I even reference, I mean, I mean, where is it? Hold on, let me grab it real quick because it's right here.
Okay.
It also means reading this book.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I love that.
So this book has actually helped me a lot.
You.
Just like, just things that I just had questions about. And it's like, you can't find it on the internet. You know what? Let me go to this book. So
amazing.
Making a new music business, it might be a shameless plug for you, but who cares?
Hey, you know, I appreciate like, that. Thanks,
but
man.
I am a, you know, true, like, and happy learner from this book, just reading things. I'd say, embracing new technology, read books, as you can see. And I'm not saying like fiction books or fairy tale books, like you can do that too. But I always pick books that like would help me get to the goal that I wanted to get to. The new music business helped me understand things that I needed to sign up for. It's like, oh, there's money over here I need to collect. Or there's things I need to be thinking about, you know, like maybe I need to like register my song with DistroKid instead of this, or, mm-hmm. you know, there's no right or wrong. It's just figuring out what your needs are. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, yeah, just having a new mindset every day. Cause even though I have 8.5 million followers every year, I still have to like recreate like yes. who I am. Cause you can still, you know, your audience can get bored. They're like, look, mm-hmm. bro, I can't keep hearing you play Star Wars like for five years. You know what I mean? You know, yeah, so yeah, it's yeah. like, you know, so that to me, you know, it's like, all right, well, and then that's making sure that like you're not so sold and like stuck on your followers or stuck on your success where you can't continuously recreate yourself. So that's to me what making it in the new music business is, you know, amazing. Reading books, definitely get that new music business book by Ari Hirstand for sure. It's a great book. You. You know, like, and yeah, staying up to date with what's going on. Watch what your peers are doing. You mm-hmm. know, like, and don't, you know, don't be afraid to ask them, you know, like, hey, I saw you work with this brand deal. I saw you work with this artist. What is it like? How much do they pay?
Yes.
You know, like, ask those questions. They might be hard questions to ask, but mm-hmm. ask those. That is the new music business, where before you probably didn't have access to this information. You know, yep. like, it would probably be only through a record label. It'd probably be only through, you know, the gatekeepers. But now the power is in people like me and you, where it's like yes. you can go on Instagram and DM someone. Hopefully they respond, but, and, you know, you can ask for like, hey, you know, I would love to, you know, just do a free review of your product. Hopefully it can lead to a paid promotion. Mm-hmm. You know, would you be interested? Yeah, sure. No problem. You know, like, that's the new music business, always staying in the new.
Yeah, I love that. Perfect. Justin Vibes, thank you so much. Super inspiring.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And once again, quick shout out to my partner, BandZoogle. You can design any website on BandZoogle, get 15% off and a 30-day free trial by using the code ARI. That's BandZoogle.com. Use the promo code ARI. All right.